There's a network marketing company that has been gaining attention recently, with global sales reaching over $1 billion last year. The gross sales of this company have grown by double digits annually for 8 consecutive years since its founding in 2009. This is quite an impressive record. As today's guest on The Leader Show, we have invited the president of Atomy, Mr. Han Gil Park. We will learn about his very own management philosophy and the culture of his company that is less than 10 years old. We welcome President Han Gil Park of Atomy to our show. Hello.
Hello, it's nice to meet you.
I briefly mentioned in the opening that your company has achieved over $1 billion in annual gross sales. So I would assume the company would be fairly well known by now. But I think there are still many people who are not familiar with Atomy. Could you please give us a brief introduction of Atomy?
Atomy is a direct selling company that distributes over 200 products, including health supplements, skincare products, cosmetics, and household essentials. Although many people have heard of the company, still, it's not yet widely known. One of the reasons for this is because of our sales through a membership system. Only members are able to purchase and use our quality products at affordable prices, and if members are satisfied with the products, they introduce them to others. Because of this system, if you have not been introduced yet, you may not have heard of Atomy. We have over 3 million registered members in Korea alone, and about 1.5 million members abroad. Our sales last year reached a total of $1.1 billion worldwide.
Exceeding the billion-dollar mark in global sales, and with a presence in the international market as well, Atomy should be considered by all to be a highly successful company. But there are still some negative perceptions out there towards network marketing companies in general. Is there a specific reason why you chose the network marketing model for your company?
Yes. I am very much aware that people do not always have a positive view of network marketing. And at the very beginning, even my wife tried to talk me out of it, asking, why network marketing? However, I had my own strong convictions about the network marketing model. If you look at the fundamental principles of network marketing, it is about acquiring quality products that I need at good prices, and after using those products and seeing the value in them, I would then introduce those products to other people around me. And if those people like the products, they will pass them on yet to other people, resulting in a kind of chain effect of purchasing and introducing. In this way, network marketing has the potential to be a very successful model in the distribution industry, creating many loyal consumer groups. So theoretically, there is no problem with this model, but if network marketing still has a bad reputation, it's because of scams in the past, such as pyramid schemes, which are something completely different from network marketing. Those involved in these illicit activities have deceived many innocent people. And when news of these illegal scams ends up going public, they are often collectively referred to as network marketing sales. Therefore, many people have this negative perception of network marketing since they mistakenly relate it to those illegal pyramid schemes. All network marketing companies are cons. People think network marketing and pyramid schemes are all the same and that they are both fraudulent and deceitful. This is untrue. And this is why the negative image of network marketing companies persists. Another reason for this negative perception is that even though it is perfectly legal, many network marketing companies tend to excessively mark up their products. People think that this is because the price includes the sales allowance paid to the members. In any case, expensive products can be quite a burden on consumers. So some network marketing companies are often reproached for overpricing their products and burdening their members, which is also an influencing factor that's contributed to the negative image of the network marketing industry. But if you simply follow the fundamental principles of network marketing, it can provide a valuable marketing channel for the manufacturers, as well as an effective way for consumers to acquire quality products at good prices. I had confidence that we could create such a healthy distribution channel. So I specifically chose the network marketing model to test out and prove my ideas. Fortunately, those who have used our Atomy products can attest to the product's quality and affordability. Just as I had intended, from the very beginning. I believe this is the reason that Atmi has been able to grow steadily to this day.
It sounds like you built the company on the belief that as long as you sell great quality products at affordable prices and keep to the principles of network marketing, you will have high success as a distribution company. After looking at some data, I see that Atmi has grown by double digits every year for the past 8 years since its founding. What would you say is the secret behind such a rapid growth?
I don't think there's really any special secret. We are simply staying true to the principles of distribution. Even though it seems like the world is a complicated place, I think the principles that govern it are really fairly simple. I believe that selling high-quality products at good prices is the key to distribution. At Atmi, we therefore begin by selecting absolutely high-quality products. We call this absolute quality. And we sell this quality at a price that no one can match. We call this absolute price. So you can say that the secret is establishing the principle, selling absolutely high quality products at an absolutely good price, and sticking to this principle to the utmost.
As you mentioned, the key to distribution is selling good products at a good price. It seems to me that consumers' trust is the most important factor.
Yes, that's right.
As you've just mentioned, the secret to Atmi's rapid growth is the consumer's faith in your quality products. And during the company introduction earlier, you also mentioned that Atmi distributes a wide variety of products from household essentials to home goods and even skincare and cosmetics. Among these, if there are any products in particular that have helped lead Atmi to rapid success, could you briefly introduce them?
One of the top-selling products at our company right now is Hemohim. And another is the Absolute Skincare line. Both of these products were a result of a government-funded research project that was headed by the Korean Atomic Energy Research Institute. The sales of Hemohim exceeded $150 million last year. And the Absolute Skincare line brings in over $100 million in sales every year. These are our two main leading products. In addition, Atmi's toothbrush and toothpaste are also very popular products. Our toothbrushes are said to be sold at a rate of almost one toothbrush per second. We sold about 27 million toothbrushes last year. And as for our toothpaste, we have sold about 100 million tubes of them to date.
$150 million a year and over 100 million sold. These are outstanding figures. I actually did some research on Atmi for the show. And one thing that stood out to me was how Atmi focuses on a win-win relationship with its partnering companies. What kind of efforts have you been making to cooperate and grow together with your business partners?
We adhere to a principle that we have established since our founding, which is a one-product, one-partner principle. This principle means that we only partner with one company per product. Thus, our partner company can manufacture products without worrying about who will be buying what they make. And unless our partner is dishonest with us, we would never switch to a different supplier. This allows our supplier to conduct more research and development on their products and invest more in their facilities in the long run. This is an example of how we support our business partners. Moreover, most of our products are supplied by small and medium-sized companies. If the products are of the same quality and price, we prefer those to come from small and medium-sized companies. In most cases, however, these companies have a lack of capital. They are short on money. In order to help relieve some of their financial difficulties, as long as the products we order arrive at our warehouses, we pay them in cash within 1 week of arrival, even before we start to sell those products. We pay cash, not with promissory notes or anything else. Many partner companies have said this payment policy was a big help in operating their businesses. I also say to them, if you have to go to the bank to borrow money, please come talk to Atmi first. Because in the case of borrowing money from a bank, they have to pay interest, and that interest eventually means higher prices for our customers. So, as long as we can afford it, We offer to make advance payments by which the company can use the funds with no interest. This is another example of our win-win efforts.
Judging from your comments, it sounds like if a company simply becomes a business partner of Atomy, all will be very well. But I think some people may doubt if such a company as Atomy really exists. I'm not sure if I can ask you this, but could you please give us some real examples of what you have said?
Of course I will. There was once a fire at a production line of Serum Foods, one of our partner companies. Although Serum Foods had their facilities insured against fire, they still faced some financial hardships. We provided financial aid in the amount of $1 million to support them in fully restoring their facilities and improving their production lines. As a token of their thanks, they increased the volume of each ramen bag by 17% without us even asking them to. As a result, our customers could enjoy more for their money. There is also a company called Colmar B&H. When they first partnered with us, they were a small research company of only about 3 or 4 employees. But now, it has grown enough to be listed in the KOSDAQ and has a corporate value estimated to be worth $1 billion. In fact, most of the small and medium-sized companies that have partnered with Atomy have grown by 5 or even 10-fold. Their management indices clearly show that they have become very stable companies, both financially and in size. As an entrepreneur, I regard such an outcome as very meaningful and rewarding.
After hearing about these real cases of how companies have experienced success after partnering with Atomy, I have more and more confidence in Atomy's management philosophy. Let's continue with Atomy's success story in launching overseas. With total sales reaching the $1 billion mark last year, Atomy is said to be very active in branching out in the global market as well. Atomy has expanded into 10 other countries, right?
Yes. We have branch offices in 10 countries, including the US, Japan, and Taiwan. And global sales from these locations came to about $200 million last year. This year, we plan to open branches in 3 more countries, Vietnam, Indonesia, and Australia. And we plan to expand into China, India, and Russia by next year. For some of those global branches coming soon, office managers have been recruited and have started working already. They are busy preparing for the new openings.
Do you have a goal in mind for your sales and exports?
We have consistently been recognized for our outstanding export records. We have been awarded the Export Tower in recognition of $5 million, $10 million, and $30 million of exports. And last year, we were awarded the Export Tower for $50 million. This year, we're expected to receive the $100 million Export Tower. As of now, our annual sales in Korea are about $1 billion. And in the long run, we expect that our sales overseas will reach about 5 to 10 times that of our domestic sales. So my heart is filled with anticipation for the future of Atomy's global success.
I'm excited that Atomy is expected to be awarded the 100 million export tower this year. Atomy will be actively expanding into the global market and continuing to branch out into more and more countries worldwide. Does Atomy have a particular strategy for targeting the global market?
Yes. We have something called the GSGS strategy, which is the Global Sourcing, Global Sales strategy. We go beyond selling products just made in Korea. If one of our partnering countries has a great product that has high market potential, we will source it. That means that we will purchase that product and not only sell it in Korea, but in all the other countries where we have branches. I suppose you could call this intermediary trade. For example, sandwich seaweed and aroma patches are products that come from Taiwan. We take those products and export them to Singapore and Malaysia. They can be brought into Korea, but these Taiwanese products can also be exported to Singapore and to Malaysia.
I see. So that's how you expanded globally.
Yes, this GSGS strategy not only helps Taiwan, but people in Singapore and in Malaysia also benefit from enjoying high-quality products at an affordable price. For another example, we purchase pepper that is produced in Cambodia, and we sell it in Korea, as well as in the 10 other countries where ATME is located. Therefore, from all kinds of products worldwide, we hand-pick and source those that have a competitive edge in quality and price. In other words, we source only products that meet absolute quality, absolute price standards, and we sell those products to other countries. That's why we call it global sourcing, global sales. Our dream is for ATME to become a worldwide hub of distribution. This is my vision for ATME.
After hearing about ATME, it seems like the company really makes an effort to distribute high-quality products at affordable prices for the benefit of its customers. And ATME is a company that works even harder to grow together with its partnering companies. While researching about ATME, I came across some unique keywords. Let's take a look at these keywords to learn about ATME's management philosophy and organizational culture. Could you please tell us about these?
Sure.
The first key phrase is feeding cows versus feeding babies. I don't really understand what this means.
This is what we refer to as the kind of mindset we should have toward our customers. In our company, we have a set of management goals, and the first one is customer success. This means that ATME does not consider the customers to be a means of success for the company. Rather, the focus is on the customers themselves. We use the phrase feeding cows versus feeding babies to explain this in simple terms. The reason a farmer takes good care of a cow is not for the benefit of the cow itself, but for the purpose of getting milk from the cow. I doubt if there's a farmer who would take good care of a cow if it's not producing any milk. Right? But when a mother takes care of her baby, she's not trying to gain anything from the baby. The baby itself is the goal. We strive for an attitude like a mother feeding her baby, not like a farmer feeding a cow just to get milk. Just like a mother focuses on her baby, we want to focus on our customers as the ultimate goal. The first part of our company motto is cherish the spirit. We never think of people as a means to an end, but rather the end goal itself. This is the philosophy behind how we run our business.
The second key phrase is, getting rid of work is the way to work effectively. How can you get rid of work and work well at the same time?
Most companies will tell their employees to work hard and to work well. However, I do not tell my employees to work harder or to become better at their job. I tell them to eliminate work if at all possible. I believe that getting rid of work is the best way to work effectively. As an example, people used to attach the backs of smartphones with screws. But later, They came out with plastic covers for the back that just snapped into place without using any screws at all. They got rid of the work of putting in the screws. So who is the better worker? Someone who is really good at putting in the screws, or the person who has eliminated that step altogether? If you ask me, it's the person who got rid of that step. So I challenge my employees to find ways to eliminate unnecessary work. Instead of working hard on something that is repetitive or overlapping with something else. Some people who don't really understand this will often ask, but won't I be kicked out of the company if there's no work left to do? I get this question a lot. But here's an example. In the past, it was very hard to do laundry. Women used to have to wash their family's clothes by hand. But now there are washing machines in your house, so the chore of washing clothes by hand has been eliminated. You just throw your clothes in the washer, and the laundry is done with just a press of a button. Does that mean the homemaker should be kicked out of her house?
I don't think so.
Of course not. In the same way, we never fire our employees. After loading the washing machine, the homemaker can do a number of other things, such as read a book, do something creative, or simply enjoy having some free time. Just like this, my real intent is for our employees to automate their work and do something for the future, such as take part in something creative, something for personal development, or something that just makes them happy. This is what I mean by getting rid of work.
From what you're saying, you will never fire your employees, right? But won't the employees just sit around and not get anything done?
When people are hired as full-time employees of Atomy, we give them job security until the day they retire. After telling them that I would never fire anyone, even if they didn't do any work at all, a lot of people asked, well, what happens if everyone really just sits around all day playing, just not doing any work? But I believe that people inherently like to work more than they like to play. Of course, there are people who say work is difficult and that they don't like it. But there is a reason behind that. It's because those employees don't have the power to make their own choices and have to follow orders that are assigned from above. They don't like to work because they have to work like a machine in some ways. But if employees are given the power to make their own decisions, they may agree with me that there is nothing more fun than working. That's why if someone joins our company, we don't give them a job description filled with tasks. Instead, we just leave them alone for a little while. I believe it's much more effective for the employees to find work to do on their own initiative and decide to take on specific tasks for themselves. Work shouldn't be something that you dread. I think work should be more fun than play.
There is actually something that I'm most curious about. I've heard that employees who play all day also have a role. What kind of role do they play?
When managing a company, there is a common practice of firing the bottom 5 to 10% of your workforce every year. This is a management practice from the United States. If you do this, it has the effect of making the employees work really hard so they're not the ones who get fired. But there's a problem with doing things this way. There's a tendency for employees to not cooperate with each other since it comes down to either you or your coworker being fired. You are put into a desperate situation. You should be working together with others at work. But this is impossible because you are competing with them. You have to step over them. Therefore, instead of individual accomplishments through competition, I believe that collaborative achievements through cooperation is much more efficient. Let's say that there's an employee who is not performing very well at all. He doesn't even deserve a paycheck. You will see these kinds of people at work. But we don't fire this person because he actually plays an important role. When the other employees see that even a person like that won't be fired, they will be assured that they can continue with this company for a lifetime as long as it does well. It gives them peace of mind and a mentality of cooperation without competition, as they hope for the company to do well. These are my intentions behind my no-firing policy.
It sounds like you are creating Atomy to be a company where employees feel secure and grow together by working cooperatively.
Yes, I'm trying to create that kind of environment.
Theoretically, this sounds like the perfect model. But I wonder if a company policy with so much freedom really leads to results.
Yes, the data tells us that it really works. Our employees each produce sales amounting to $7 million every year. So, with a total revenue of $1 billion and only about 130 employees, this is historically unheard of in the distribution industry. Objective data shows that employee productivity per person is very high with Atomy.
Atomy really seems to be a very efficient organization when it comes to productivity. I also came across the phrase assistant manager Park while reading about Atomy. May I ask, is this your nickname?
Yes, some of our employees call me Assistant Manager Park, as well as Mr. Unconquerable or Mr. Fourth Dimension. As for the Assistant Manager Park nickname, I had worked as a salaried employee for over 10 years. So I'm familiar with the workings of a business. I think they call me that because I'm the president who works like an assistant manager. But I've heard they've recently promoted me to manager.
Oh, so now you're Manager Park? Let me ask another question to the recently promoted Manager Park. I've heard of a vertical or horizontal organization, but I've never heard of an amoeba organization. What does this mean?
In our company, we don't assign or delegate tasks or hold employees to a set of rights, responsibilities, if at all possible. So, when new employees join with our company, instead of putting them to work right away, we give them some time to sit around and observe how the work flows. If they manage to find some work to do, they may become a manager for that particular project. Anybody can become a project manager, regardless of their position in the company. And these project managers are able to recruit anyone in the company to become members on their team. For example, a project manager who is an employee can recruit a director or even the president like me to put together a team of members. And when the project is completed, that team dissolves and a new team is formed around a new project. We are fluid, flexible, and can change form like the protoplasm of an amoeba that moves around a nucleus. That's why we call our company an amoeba organization. We are an organic, living community.
It must take a lot of guts to recruit you, the president. Yeah. Someone must have nerves of steel to ask you to be on their team. I'm also curious to hear about the free position system in your company. Does that mean your employees can choose their own titles?
Yes, that's right. When you join our company, you have the freedom to decide on the position title that gets printed on your business card. So a new employee can become a manager or even the head of a department. Internally, the position names don't really mean anything. The titles are mostly for external purposes.
President Park, I also heard that when you work, you put emphasis on a chutzpah mindset. What exactly is a chutzpah mindset?
The chutzpah mindset can be found in Israel's education philosophy. It means to be bold and brazen and never stop asking questions. If my employees have any questions while working, I strongly encourage them to be audacious and tenacious and constantly ask questions until they understand. This is the type of mindset that they should have. Employees should not go easy on me just because I'm the president. I have put down my title. So, with all titles aside, let's create an atmosphere of working face to face. It is with this purpose that I preach the chutzpah mindset.
By doing so, I think the employees can have more influence on different aspects of the company.
Yes. The point is not to use power or authority, but to use influence when working. In a horizontal organization, I believe that having a broad range of influence is true impact.
So far, we have found out about President Hangil Park's management philosophy and the culture of Atomy through various keywords. I heard that Atomy is building a new office building, and the concept of this building is offices within a gym. Could you please share with us your motivation behind this project?
Usually, companies tell their employees to work hard and to work a lot. But I tell my employees to try and eliminate work. After you get rid of work, we should play, right? So we're developing a workplace where our employees can play. If they have time to play and enjoy themselves at work, they will be sure to come up with creative new ideas.
Wow! After hearing about Atomy's corporate culture, I have to say that it's beyond unique. It is revolutionary. After listening to your talk today, President Park, I get the impression that you are a very smart, influential businessman. Now I'd like to ask you my last question for today. How do you want Atomy to expand moving forward? What are your future aspirations for this company?
People call this time period the information age. One characteristic of the information age is that we are flooded with a tremendous amount of information. So, it is very difficult for consumers to discern what information is useful or beneficial to them. It can be very confusing and overwhelming. Atomy wants to be the company that helps consumers with this overload of information and provide just the right products for them at the lowest possible price. A reliable company with products that you can trust and use. Atomy would select the most relevant and beneficial information for its consumers, acting like a kind of shopping curator. This is how I would describe it. We want our customers to simply trust and use our products at Atomy. We strive to become the company where consumers can just buy any of our products and know that these are the best products for them, minus the hassle and information overload.
We had President Hangil Park of Atomy on the show today. We were able to hear about his management philosophy and company's goals from a different perspective. Of course, increasing sales and growing as a global company is important. But what stood out was President Park's great resolve and belief in the importance of winning customers' trust through every effort. We hope for Atomy to become a company loved by many consumers around the world. President Han Gil Park, thank you so much for being with us today.